What's up? I'm Amanda Costco, and you're listening to the Electric Runaway Podcast, a podcast exploring the intersection of fashion and technology. You may be able to hear it in my voice. I'm a little under the weather. I spent all last week working about 14 hours a day in Vegas for CES and then took a red eye home on Sunday night, didn't sleep, and arrived Monday morning. So needless to say, this is my body catching up with me. I do apologize if I sound like Snuffleupagus. On today's episode, we're speaking with two entrepreneurs who have taken one of the oldest wearables and reinvented it for our modern times. You may remember friendship bracelets from your childhood in the 90s, or at least I do, but they actually date back to ancient times. Today on the show, I interviewed two companies making high-tech friendship bracelets, both for the purposes of empowering women in different ways. One is a social wearable, inviting girls to connect to one another through technology, and the other is an educational wearable, teaching girls how to code. Later on the program, my conversations with Michael Betua, CEO and co-founder of Gemio, and Sarah Chips, CEO and co-founder of Jewelbots. But first, some thoughts on the Consumer Electronics Show, which wrapped up on Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. CES is one of the largest technology events in North America, attracting people from all over the world interested in the future of electronics. But as technology creeps closer to the skin, wearables are occupying more space in the consumer imagination as well as on the showroom floor. There were more than 700 wearable products at CES this year, and I was curious to see how or where fashion played a role. What I found was, well, a lot of Me Too products, watches and fitness trackers, basically wrist-worn devices that do a whole lot of the same thing. And when it comes to fashion, it was definitely on the fringes. While technology may have dominated fashion headlines at recent events like New York and London Fashion Weeks, fashion hasn't quite penetrated the tech world in such a pervasive way, at least not judging by what we saw on the show floor at CES. Something that sums up CES this year in my mind, and something I've been thinking a lot about lately, is how we seem to be stuck in the information age of wearable technology. This is something that will come up later in my conversation with Michael of Gemio, but here's how I'm framing it. There's this great book by Maria Azua called The Social Factor, and in it she describes our transition from the information age to what she claims will be remembered as the social age. Azua says the information age was marked by increasing efficiency in the dissemination of information via the internet from producer to consumer. Instead, the social age, which happens afterwards, is marked by a fundamental change in the way we communicate and socialize. Of course, Azua is talking about history and media theory, but I'd argue her model is useful in thinking about wearable technology. In my mind, the wearables we're seeing today are a lot like the information age, focused on collecting information, primarily data, about our bodies. And this is a phenomenon known as the quantified self. The promise of the quantified self is that through data, we can make ourselves fitter, faster, and more optimized humans. Don't get me wrong, while I believe the quantified self has enormous implications for health and fitness, I don't believe this is where we're going to see fashion-first products or garments. What we're beginning to see, and what I'm most excited about, is a movement not necessarily away from information, but more towards communication and self-expression. So wearables that use data to express a connection or communicate how we're feeling. This, in my opinion, is the social age of wearables and will be a fundamental shift in the way we communicate with one another. This all said, I'm not bullish on everything that was at CES. I did get the chance to get an up-close look at Wisewear, a Texas-based fashion tech company that has come up with a bracelet that's going beyond counting steps. The bracelet, which is a beautiful, substantial, solid bracelet made of gold and silver, also promises to track advanced metrics such as dehydration. It delivers custom notifications via haptic feedback as well as includes a distress signal feature, which, with a simple tap, will alert your emergency contacts in seconds. The distress signal automatically sends out your geolocation as well as the sound and video recording of your surroundings. The company also recently announced its partnership with Iris Apfel, the 94-year-old style icon. Apfel is known for her large collection of accessories, but she's also reflective of the older demographic Wisewear could possibly be targeting. We all know that falls can be fatal for the elderly, and when Apfel found out that the bracelet was not only stylish but could help keep her safe via the distress signal feature, she agreed to be the face of the brand. I also had the chance to meet the folks behind the Aura Ring, a smart ring that's differentiating itself from other smart rings on the market by focusing on wellness and sleep, something we could all use a little more of. Although the Ring interfaces with your smartphone, it doesn't rely on cell phone connectivity. It can measure and store biodata for up to 3 weeks and can then later transmit this information to your phone. Aura launched on Kickstarter in the late summer of 2015 with a goal of $100,000. In just a couple of hours, it reached more than half of its funding goal and was selected by Kickstarter as a new and noteworthy product. Within 15 hours, the project had reached its full funding goal, and by the campaign's completion, they'd raised more than $650,000. Quite impressive. The company also received an Innovation Award at CES, as well as numerous write-ups and mentions from the media. I'm excited to get my hands on one and test it for myself. What struck me about both of these companies is their fashion-first approach to wearable tech. We've been hearing a lot about how most wearables look like celibacy bands, and both Wisewear and Aura have created pieces that look like jewelry you'd want to wear anyhow, let alone for the added safety and wellness features. I also got the chance to visit the Refinery 29 Dream Suite, a couture and connected loft design for the modern millennial. Inside, I got to see Billy Whitehouse's new yoga pants. Now, you may remember Billy from a previous podcast. She's that amazing Australian from Wearable Experiments. This time, she's come up with Nady, a pair of stylish and smart yoga pants. The pants correct your form and posture for yoga poses using haptic vibrations or gentle nudges meant to push you into perfect posture. We'll put a picture as well as more information up on our website, but what really struck me about these yoga pants is how fashionable they are. They use a combination of nylon and mesh materials to allow some of the skin to show through, a trend I've been noticing in athleisure lately. For my full coverage of CES, I invite you to check out electricrunway.com. We've been posting articles and videos all week with interviews with some big-name companies like Fitbit and Misfit Wearables, as well as smaller startups that we found along the way. And if you're in Toronto towards the end of the month, I'm going to be speaking on a panel at We Are Wearables January 25th, focused on wearable tech trends at CES. We'll put the link up on the website. Before we get on to our interviews, I just wanted to share some more link love. Three really great articles I've read post-CES that I want to highlight. The first is from my friends at Mobile Syrup. Tom Emmerich, who you know from our podcast last week, wrote an article for Mobile Syrup called The Biggest Wearable Trends We Saw at CES 2016, and it goes over how the wearables market has matured and highlights how we can no longer lump wearables into one giant category. Really great article for an overview. The second was from Women's Wear Daily contributor Megan McDowell. She goes through some of the best fashion wearables from CES and goes into some more detail about the yoga pants that I mentioned. And finally, from Fast Company, an article by Mona Bajour called Why the Fashion World Hates Wearables. I think the title speaks for itself, but I'll let you look it up. And of course, we'll link all of those articles mentioned on our blog. Now, on to today's guests. First, my conversation with Michael Betua, CEO and co-founder of Jemio, recorded from the CES press room.
How are you?
Good. How are you enjoying CES?
Fantastic. It's a great show for us.
So tell me about Jemio.
Yes. So Jemio is a high-tech friendship bracelet, really targeted towards young women, and really gives them the ability to change the physical look of the bracelet in completely new ways, and also the behavior of the bracelet through the way it lights up and plays light effects based on which friends they're with.
Okay, so it's a podcast, obviously, so people can't see it. Let's try to describe it as best as possible. The band is made of?
The band is made of, it's a molded plastic and metal parts, die-cast metal. The top has a whole gem set that can be snapped on and off of the bracelet, which changes the look. There are seven different gems. Imagine like a charm bracelet that covers the surface of a bracelet. So we use gems, and underneath our gem sets are 20 RGB LED lights.
Oh, so it is LEDs.
That's right. It's LED lights, and for your audience may know that, but RGBs can take on 16.6 million color varieties, and so we built an app to allow young women to really customize the color and effect of those lights in completely new ways, and it's pretty exciting to see.
So I grew up in the 90s, so I remember friendship bracelets when they were a little bit more beta than this, let's say. The friendship bracelets that I remember were woven, and we played around with colors and patterns and things like that, and so you're now giving young women the ability to do that, but with technology.
That's right, Amanda. You know, we like to say that the friendship bracelet is the most enduring wearable in history. It literally is. It's been around, as you know, for thousands of years, starting with macrame all the way to silly bands and rainbow loom and more sophisticated Italian charms. And so we studied this market before we launched Jemio and found two qualities that made friendship bracelets so successful throughout the years. One is that it's always a form of creativity, right, for the person. They create something that they either want to wear themselves or gift to a friend. And two is that tradability of it, you know, that really gives it meaning. And that's what we think we want to preserve with Gemio. And we think we've done that through these tradable gem sets and also through the app that you can customize the bracelet.
So tell me about the app. So it obviously interfaces with your smartphone. Is it iPhone only right now?
No, it's iPhone and Android. We'll be GA in June. And so we'll have both available. Right now I have the iPhone app here available. We have something called the Design Studio, and that's where, you know, the young, you know, people can go in and start from scratch and design light effects and colors from scratch. And there are three ways that we provide designs for the design library, for the gems. One are designs that we create with our internal designers, as well as working with outside jewelry designers and fashion designers. We add those to the design library, and those are available for purchase and for downloading the effects. The second is we're opening up a crowdsourced design library so that young women can contribute designs that they've created to our library, and through a vetting process, we will publish them to the library. So girls can become famous, you know, Gemio designers of gem sets, and they seem to be pretty excited about that. And the third is an area for custom gem sets where maybe you just want to create a gem set for your friend. We've developed a whole production process where we can customize the design of those those gem sets by ourselves.
There's so much that I want to touch on here. Let's talk first about the customization aspect of it. Why do you think that's a selling feature for young women today?
That's a great question. So as you know, covering this space, I think one of the biggest challenges wearables have had is making it fashionable. And that's finally coming to the forefront. I mean, they're starting to look pretty fashionable. Still a long way to go, I'm sure, from your perspective. What we felt is it doesn't have to be just fashionable, but it has to be versatile. So just changing a band on your iWatch does not really make it versatile. What we felt is the entire look had to change, especially for young women who are exploring different styles, different moods. We designed Gemio so that you can change the look of it on a weekly basis, an hourly basis even if you want, to match your outfit or to match your mood.
And it's not a fitness tracker, correct?
Correct. That's not our immediate focus.
And so, I mean, we're at CES. The whole show floor is filled with fitness trackers, accelerometers that, in my opinion, essentially do the same thing but are marketed differently. Why did you decide to go with something different?
Well, for one, you know, of course, the fitness space has been really well done by a couple of other players. And our sort of look at the fitness space is once you know how many steps you take on average, you lose interest in the bracelet. And it becomes sort of onerous to put in calories. And we don't feel that that's a utilitarian use. We're looking for more of meaning behind the bracelet, like traditional charm bracelets have. And that's one of the things that has made, for example, Pandora Charm so successful is because they've created this meaning behind collecting and trading those gems. And so we think that's a much bigger market than just fitness tracking. And the second reason is that, I don't know if you've studied, you know, the history of relationships and its effect on health, but there's like one of the longest studies in history over 75 years has really studied what is the biggest contributor to health and happiness in life. And it's not counting steps or counting your bank balance or, you know, counting likes on Facebook, but it's your relationships and the quality of those relationships and being with friends.
Oh, I didn't know that. And what a better signifier than a friendship bracelet.
Exactly, exactly.
And so it seems to me that the fitness trackers that are out there, like I said, they're very focused on the quantified self. And I've always thought about it like we're kind of in the information age of wearable technology. So if you remember the information age of computers, it's all about like Wikipedia, getting all the information onto the internet because we're creating this sort of dictionary of information and data out there. And after the information age, we had Web 2.0, where it was all about Facebook and Instagram and social sharing. And I see products like yours and some others that I'm keeping my eye on that are sort of nudging that change where it's going more towards the social aspect of wearables. So maybe you could speak to how does Gemio become a social, how is it a social product?
Sure. So one of the key things that the bracelets do is that you pair your bracelets with your friends in real life. And that's really the starting point for opening up all the functionality of the bracelet. The app is not required to pair your bracelets with, you know, 20, 25 friends. The bracelet could recognize lots of different friends on one bracelet and can light up differently based on which friends you're with and even based on how many you're with. And with the accelerometer inside, we can start to even create different behaviors based on what you're doing with your friends. For example, you know, dancing and to music, the bracelets light up differently to that. So it's all the beauty and the vibrancy of the bracelet comes to life the more friends you're with. It's totally fun by yourself if you want to just express yourself in different ways and have it light up, but it tends to be a more social interaction coming to life, you know, on the bracelet. So
And so let's say I have a bracelet and you have a bracelet. We could program it so that when you walk near, there's some sort of notification. How does it work?
Right. So when you and I are our friends, our Jemio friends, our bracelets will light up automatically when we are within, say, 100 feet of each other. They'll light up with a specific beautiful visual ringtone that I've established for you, Amanda. So I know that it's Amanda is close by. We can trade light messages either together in the same room or even remotely. So you know how, for example, someone calls you on your iPhone, one of the pop-up messages is, I can't talk right now, or I'll call you later. So what we're building in our app is different messages that can be represented beautifully in light that say, for example, meet me, where the light starts on the outside of the bracelet and meets in the center. And it's just an exciting aesthetic representation of that meetup rather than just a utilitarian information one.
And it's cool because it's kind of like a code. It's like a code language, and girls love that.
Totally, totally.
So how did you come up with the idea?
So we have there are four co-founders, and one of our co-founders has girls who were, you know, young tweens at the time. And, you know, he was sort of lamenting the fact that his girls are always staring at their screens. And he said, you know, how do we sort of get my girls off of the screens and really valuing that face-to-face time with friends? And one of the premises was that you can't do that today unless you have some technology in the real world. And so we tried to bring some of that magic from the online world to the offline, and then really started talking about what's the best way to do that. And friendship bracelets emerged as, like I said, the longest running form factor for that friendship. So what better way to reinvent it?
Well, yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the teens with the teens and the screens, because, you know, it does seem that technology has taken some of our humanity away. But wearables, or the promise of wearables anyways, is that they can give us that FaceTime back again. And that's something that I certainly hope for. So it's a concept product right now.
Well, it's fully in development. Actually, we're in the final phases of R&D with our factory. So what you're seeing here today are late stage prototypes, and we're going to be manufacturing for general availability in June.
Oh, great. So it's ready. It's ready.
It's ready. We're taking pre-orders on our website, sort of a crowdfunding type discount. So if anybody wants to order it now, now is the best time.
At Jemio.com. And that's...
It's actually GoJemio.com.
GoJemio. And it's G-E-M-I-O.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's talk about... So let's see. We talked about the customization. We talked about the... Is there haptics in it at all? Is there some sort of feedback?
There is. There's a bit of feedback. For example, when you come into proximity of a friend, you'll get a slight vibration. So you know, you can actually look at your bracelet. Otherwise, you might not see it. And then there's other haptic feedback for what we call these different sensors. So I'll just talk about the way we're setting up our IoT infrastructure with our app are three different sensors. One are these social sensors, where you can set the bracelet to light up, as I mentioned, based on different friends being in the area, or even when different friends are together. Say three of your best friends are together and they're thinking about you, you can get a sort of a light on your bracelet that they're thinking about you and missing you. The second are what we call context sensors, which girls really love. So one of them is a color sensor on the bracelet. So you can just point the bracelet at your pink blouse and the bracelet will totally turn pink instantaneously to match the blouse.
Wait, how can it know that?
Well, it's an optical sensor, and so it can sense color as a color field, and we've just programmed the software to mimic that color field. So, for example, in the cubic zirconia model that we're coming out with, it looks absolutely beautiful.
Because it's made to mimic cubic zirconia.
Exactly.
So you're telling me that I could be shopping, and I could say, I really love the color of that dress, and I could point my Jemio bracelet to the dress and then have my bracelet become that color?
Correct. And not only that, is you can add that color to the color palette in our design studio, so you can start designing, you know, light effects with that color as you wish.
That's fantastic. And how much are the bracelets going to retail for?
So they're going to be $125 retail. Right now they're $100 in pre-order.
And what about the apps and the add-ons?
So the bracelet comes with a standard Jemio gem set, our signature gem set, and then the add-on gem sets are $20 for the printed ones that you see here, and the cubic zirconia ones will be $45. And then the app is free. The design studio is free. You know, we want to encourage, you know, girls and even boys to go in and design whatever they want.
That's fantastic. It does have a sort of female-focused component, but then getting them to be involved in the making of it as well, I think that's really neat. How are you marketing it?
So we're launching initially direct to consumer on our website. So, and one of the big reasons is because all the fantastic design tools that we've built over the last year are going to be all on our website and available, you know, through downloading the app. And then we will branch out through some key channels like retail channels, and eventually have our own boutiques. One of the things that differentiates us that we're really excited about, which you'll see in our stores eventually, is the ability to design and print out your own gems right there in the store. So the gem sets that you see here, all printed differently, are all printed in our office. These are not mass-produced gems. So this really is where the mass customization comes into play, where, you know, people can upload any design they want, and we'll be able to print that out and have your own custom gem set.
Wow. And so when do you imagine you're going to have brick-and-mortar locations?
I mean, realistically, in year three. Year one will be direct-to-consumer. Year two will be through some key retail channels so we can get, you know, build our brand experience and learn the best way to present the brand and the experience for the customer. And year three is we'll roll out our own stores.
I love that it's focused on teens. Do you think that you're going to find a surprising audience, a different audience?
We already are, actually. You know, we really, from a marketing perspective, we have to focus, and we think teens are really the best market there. We found a lot of moms already really interested, moms who are purchasing it for younger girls, and also just moms who want to wear something cool and really tailor-made for women instead of, a rubber band that has one little light saying that you haven't met your steps for the day.
That's a really good point. It could be something that connects a mother to her daughter as well, if you wanted to have that sort of a friendship.
Exactly. I've even had some fathers telling me how much, you know, like fathers who are traveling a lot would love to have some sort of emotional connection to their kids or their daughter where they can send their daughter a goodnight light, you know, saying, you know, goodnight, you know, sort of a hug, a visual hug.
One question I always like to ask of folks is, what do you think fashion can learn from technology and vice versa? What do you think technology can learn from fashion?
That's a good question. So what technology certainly can learn from fashion is making something that people want to wear and doing it not out of guilt that you haven't met certain goals for the day, but doing it out of just sheer enjoyment and aesthetic reasons and meaning, like jewelry has done, you know, for the ages. And that's really our top goal, is making it first aesthetically pleasing and having the technology follow that lead. Fashion can learn from tech, you know, that I think tech, of course, is known. I mean, fashion, of course, is highly innovative. Tech is innovative in a really rapid way. And I think we're starting to see that in spaces that you cover, which is really, you know, innovating fashion in completely new ways. And one of the things we say internally is what we're doing with our app is sort of like runway to your wrist, where you see something in the app, you see a design of the gem sets in an app, and it can really come to life on your wrist, you know, in a day. And that's exciting.
I want to design stuff for it. I'm ready to get in the studio. And, I mean, you're from Seattle.
That's correct.
So tell me about the startup scene in Seattle.
It's really hot right now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's hot. It's a great city. You know, a lot of people have moved from San Francisco up to Seattle for great quality of life. You can access the outdoors. And it's less money than San Francisco. And it's becoming quite fashionable now. It's not known as a fashionable city, but companies like Jemmy are going to change that.
Well, I'm going to have to visit and find out.
You should come for a visit. It's a lot of exciting things happening there.
Great. Well, Michael, thank you so much for your time. Before we leave it, how can people get in touch with you?
They can, through our website, gojemmio.com.
And are you on Twitter, Instagram?
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Michael Betua, B-E-T-T-U-A.
And Jemmio?
Jemmio is on Twitter at Jemmio. And we're on Instagram at Hello Jemmio, and we're on Facebook.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of CES.
You too, Amanda. Thank you.
That was my conversation with Michael Betua of Jemmio. Next up, we have Sarah Chip, CEO and co-founder of Jewelbots.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about your company.
So we're Jewelbots, and Jewelbots are smart, programmable friendship bracelets aimed at girls. Jewelbots use a mesh network to help you know when your friends are nearby and send each other secret messages. And they're also open source, so you can program them using the Arduino IDE to do whatever you want, like talk to your Instagram or tell you if you have a new message on Facebook or tell you if it's going to rain. Or you can program it to tell a parent if you're feeling unsafe. There's a lot you could do with the Jewelbot.
So it's a fashion product, but it's also got this educational element to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What made you come up with the idea?
Yeah, so I started programming when I was 12, and this is before the internet was even a thing. I'm a software developer. I've been doing it for a very long time. And I started programming because I wanted to make friends. There were these things called BBSs, and you would dial in someone else's computer, and it was just like a way to meet other people. I didn't think engineering was cool. I definitely didn't think computers were cool. I didn't really care. And you see that a lot, right, with things like Minecraft and MySpace, where it's something that all of a sudden all these kids, you know, with Minecraft's a great example. There's all these 8-year-olds 8-year-olds out there learning Java, teaching themselves, so they can make awesome Minecraft worlds. And, you know, they probably just don't, the ones we've spoken to, they don't want to be an engineer when they grow up. They just think this is awesome. So we just really wanted to make something built for girls that they were excited about and give them the ability to make it better through coding.
So there's two things that I want to touch on there. The first is this idea of gamification and getting girls into coding, which I think is so cool because there's not enough women in that space. But then also there's the fashion element and the friendship sort of bracelet element to it. Maybe you can speak to your opinions on women in STEM.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I've been a software developer for 15 years, and I mean, it's gotten a lot better than it was from what I've seen, but I used to be the only woman on my team many times, and that was always an uncomfortable thing, you know, not because the guys were jerks or anything, but just because when you're the only person like you in a room, it's always uncomfortable. You know, you may feel like you may not have as much of a voice, or you may feel like your opinions aren't as valid as others. And so, I've since the beginning of my career, I've been working towards changing that. In 2010, I started a nonprofit called Girl Develop It, and then we do low-cost software development classes. We're in 50 cities around the U.S., and we've taught over 50,000 women in-person classes about how to build software.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been really neat.
So if I'm a young girl and I get a jewel box, how am I going to learn about the mechanics and technology and the coding components of it?
Yeah, so out of the box, a jewel box just works. You never need to program it if you don't want to. We wanted to make sure it was fun immediately. And so out of the box, you can set your friends into one of 8 color groups. When you're near your friends, your bracelets will match. So if we're in the blue group together, our bracelets will be blue. If I have another friend near me that's in my red group, her bracelet will be red and mine will be blue and red. So it's all about, we've talked to over 200 girls, and what we heard from them every single time is friendship, friends. My friends are so important to me. I love hanging out with my friends. You know, at that age, that's really important to them. But then, you know, if they want to get more in depth and actually start coding it, they can plug it into their computer. And we have a lot of resources online that can help them. We also have a forum that's COPPA safe. So usually children can't post on online forums, but both our device and our online forum are COPPA approved. And so they can go and ask questions. They can share stuff they built with each other. We'll also have code online that they could just copy and paste into an editor and upload onto their device. So we're going to try our best to make a community of these girls that are, you know, helping each other and that kind of thing.
That's fantastic, because safety is such a big concern right now for parents with all the wearable tech that's targeted towards children and teenagers. Where are you based?
We're in New York.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What's the fashion tech scene like there? I mean, I've seen some of it. I know Liz from Decoded Fashion, and there's Third Wave Fashion based out of New York. But it's interesting to me because I find that a lot of the fashion tech in New York is more like mobile focused or retail tech focused. So it's very neat that you're a wearable product. What have you seen in the New York area?
When I want to learn more about fashion tech, what I do is I go to... Are you familiar with ITP at NYU?
No.
So NYU has an interactive telecommunications program, which sounds really boring. But basically what it is, from what I understand, I have a few friends. My co-founder actually went through ITP. That's how I met her. It's a master's program for people that don't have a computer science background but want to experience art and technology. And every spring and every winter, they have a show where you can go and check out all the amazing stuff that they've done. And always I see the most forward-facing fashion tech that you've ever seen. There's a huge line of technology products. Some of the cooler things I've seen are like sunglasses that flash when someone tries to take a picture of you so that paparazzi can't get a picture of you.
And interesting.
I know, really neat stuff. And like very cool 3D printed dresses, like all kinds of stuff that I've always been really impressed with. So the ITP show is something I never miss because I get to see like the latest and greatest in technology. And there's a really, like, there's a burgeoning community around wearables, around building and design. It's really neat and it's great. It's a real big part of the ecosystem, I think.
So how can people get their hands on a jewel box?
So right now we're selling online, jewelbots.com, and you can buy a jewel bot right now. They're $69 for one, $99 for two, and $139 for three, which is by far our biggest seller because people, they're so much more fun with friends.
And how can people stay in touch with you?
Just online. I'm jewelbots.com. I'm Sarah at jewelbots, or Sarah J. Chips on Twitter is the best way to reach me.
And what about jewelbots? Is it on Twitter and Instagram as well?
All the things, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, we'll put up some pictures on our website so that people can take a look if they're interested. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's the end of CES now, so our brains aren't as sharp as they were at the beginning, but I really do appreciate your time, and I wish you luck in your venture.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
That was my brief but enlightening conversation with Sarah Chips from Jewelbots. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you want to get in touch with me, my name is Amanda Costco, and you can reach me at amanda@electricrunway.com. Electric Runway is also on Twitter and Instagram at electric_runway. We hope you tune in next week. Until then, here's looking towards the future.